Welcome to another episode of Inside Bassmaster. This is your host, Thomas Allen. We're coming to you directly from the towers of Bassmaster itself, overlooking the magic city of Birmingham. And we're going to talk fantasy fishing again today. That's been our theme at the last two shows, and it's going to continue that way. It's been exciting. We've had some really exciting finishes after the Classic with Jordan Lee winning, and now John Murray winning his first title as an Elite Series pro since he's been fishing the Elite Series at Toledo Bend, which was a very exciting win. So real briefly, what we're going to do before we get into the picks for the upcoming event, which is going to be at Ross Barnett in Mississippi, we're going to talk a little bit about how the last tournament went. And I know that Coy is excited to tell me how well he did, but Coy Greathouse on the phone. Also have Ronnie Moore and the illustrious Pete Robbins himself. We're going to talk a little bit about looking back at their tournaments, if they could have made any changes. Before we do that, the perfect team at Toledo Bend. This was I should have had these guys picked this way, but Bucket A, Jason Christie, scored 335 points for his supporters, Jamie Hartman in Bucket B for 300. John Murray, obviously, was the best pick in Bucket C for 305 points. Brandon Palinuk in Bucket D with 280, which was my sweet pick of the week. Got to throw that out there. Drew Benton for 221 points in Bucket E for a total of 1,441 points. Nobody guessed the perfect team, which makes kind of a lot of sense. There were some interesting names in that list, but the current leader for the Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing on the season is a guy by the name of B. Palmer 8. I'm guessing it's a guy. It could be a lady, but he's got a total of 1,247 points at this event and 49-19 for the season. That's pretty impressive. And the guy who won, Toledo Bend, Big Fish Nemo 83. You know, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but he ended up with 1,355 points. His picks were Jason Christie, Jamie Hartman, Mike Iaconelli, Brandon Palinuk, and Skeet Reese. So it's another interesting tournament. I managed to – I got to pull up my team here, guys, before we get to anything. I scored – I have 4,200 points currently in the 85th percentile, not nearly as high as I think I may have told some of you earlier, but it was a pretty good event for me. Joining me on the phone is Ronnie, Pete, and Coy. And let's start with Ronnie. Looking back at Toledo Bend, how did it do? How'd it go for you? I know you had Scroggins. I sent you a text. He was doing so well on the first day and then kind of petered off.
Yeah, Thomas. Overall, I'm pleased with my team, though. You know, I had four guys in the top 50. One of them made the top 12, and the other three guys who made the cut were, you know, all solid picks in the 20s and 30s. But man, I looked at my watch out for. I always do my pick and then my watch out for. And I can't hate my picks. But if I would have picked my watch fours in two of the buckets, I would have had three top 12 guys. I had Jason Christie in Bucket A as my watch four, and I had Brett Height in my Bucket C as my watch four. So paired with Casey Ashley, I could have had three top 12s. But I'll take it. You know, that's a solid lineup and a great rebound from my Conroe disaster of a pick. So I'll take that. And, you know, Terry Scroggins did have a good day.
He dropped
to 59th. But hey, if your worst angler on the week is 59th, that's, you know, that's like your worst fish in your bag being a 2.5-pounder. It's not that bad.
I don't know. My worst angler was 50th. That's a little better than yours.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I'll run through my picks real quick. I picked Ott Defoe in Bucket A, and he ended up in 26th. Kevin Van Dam in the B bucket finished 29th. Lefebvre finished 15th in Bucket C. BP, Brandon Palinuk, finished 5th. That was my wild card. I'm pretty glad that I picked him. I had a gut feeling we're going to see him kind of reemerge as he's been quiet lately. And then Bucket E, I picked Tommy Biffle, who finished 50th. So, and we're going to talk about Tommy Biffle in a little while, as I think he's going to be a hot pick at Ross Barnett. Moving down the line, Coy, I've been so looking forward to hear you loathe your decisions at Toledo Bend. So, and you're this super experienced guy that has all this. He taught me stuff the other day, folks. I had him on the phone, and he told me how to do better, and I did. But, Coy, go ahead. How'd your guys do?
Man, I am glad that I can train you to do better. You can take my advice with a grain of salt, because after last week, man, it was bad news. So I even pulled the scoreboard card on you at one point because I think you were giving me a hard time. And mm-hmm. I was in, I think, I don't know, 93rd percent or something like that. And I may or may not have dropped about 20% after this last tournament.
Ouch.
So I had two good choices. They were Dave LeFebvre and Jacob Prosnick, and I was just looking back through my choices, and those are the only two guys that all of my guys that really held up in this tournament. I think KVD, I don't even remember where he plays. He was one of my backups. So I think he did okay at least.
29.
But most of these 29. So yeah, I had a 15th and an 18th and LeFebvre and Prosnick. And then Randall Tharpe, 109th, really. Talk to me about that, because I don't know what happened. Did he just flat out have a zero?
He zeroed. You know, you would think that a post-spawn or spawn-to-post-spawn tournament on a lake full of wood and grass would be right up his alley, and I think that it is, but
right.
The fishing was really tough. I'm trying. Let's see, what did I think John Murray weighed 77-10, maybe 77 and something across the 4 days,
right.
and last year Kevin Van Dam weighed 96-something, so we're almost 20 pounds off of the weight last year. We're a little bit earlier, but I think we all thought that, well, we're – you know, it's been a warmer winter, a warmer spring, seemed to be a little ahead. The fish should be in a similar pattern to how they were last year. And there were guys catching them offshore, but you're right. You would think Randall Tharpe at Toledo Bend is a solid pick. And, you know, we've mentioned this at each one of these shows, that the anglers should never read any fantasy fishing pundit stories, because it's going to hurt their feelings. But I would have picked Randall Tharpe. I think he was my backup, my second choice there, but you're right, just tanked. And he did not catch a fish that weighed.
I think 2 years ago, KVD even had a day where he didn't post a single keeper. So everybody has those days, and I don't fault Randall. But, you know, he hurt my feelings a little bit, but at the end of the day, this is free, and he's putting his money up, so he can do whatever he wants, and I'll just cry over here in the corner.
Well,
when I have a bad pick.
Well, you know what? We'll talk about this when we get into Ross Barnett, but I would expect him to come back very angry and fish with the old the starvation version of what he's doing. So we'll see. I bet he comes back. But how else did you do? Did you have any other guys there? What was the rest of your list? I don't remember.
I mean, shoot. Dean Rojas, two wins on Toledo Bend. The last two times he's been there, he's finished subpar. And, you know, he'll have those 9 to 14-pound bags, and he just can't seem to find any big ones for some reason. I don't understand. I remember watching an interview with him where he said, you know, I have a thing with this lake. I just get it, and I know it. And I guess I'm putting a lot of stock in that video, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't. I think it's right up his alley, but, again, everybody has off years. And so my bucketee was Chris Lane, again, second place last year.
Yeah.
And 100th place this year. He's had every single event has been a train wreck for him so far. And I think, you know, I don't think it's just the competition the competition is obviously getting stronger, but I think these guys can all keep up with it. It's just everybody has bad events, and I just happen to pick them all at the right time.
Well, you got that right, and the e-bucket in general probably has more talent in it right now than it ever has in the history of Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. There's just a lot of guys that don't belong there, and you know, I think each of us have talked about, you know, the Justin Lucas, the Jacob Prosnick, the, you know, guys like that that are there right now that are going to make a turnaround. We're going to get right to that, though. Pete, how did you do? Did you beat Ronnie? That's the most important question.
I don't know if I beat Ronnie. I had a miserable experience. The good news is I'm still in the 90th percentile overall. I'm not quite sure how. The bad news is I got 925 points in this one. I did not beat Ronnie.
He did not. I only lost to Thomas by like 30 points. But that's, I'm not gonna interrupt you anymore, Pete. I'll let you have the floor. But no, for the record, I did beat Pete and had a very solid team.
I give Ronnie his props on that one. My team obviously did not perform. I'm gonna have to give him a little talking to this week. Before we get into my picks from Toledo Bend, though, I want to ask both Corey and Thomas about the LeFebvre phenomenon. I know, Thomas, you sort of have a little love-hate affair with him, maybe more on the love side, going back a few tournaments now. Is he lobbying you guys to pick him? Or he's obviously a very talented angler.
Well,
is he out there lobbying or pushing? I don't think of him as some guy as talented and accomplished as he is. For him to get this much fantasy love kind of surprises me.
Well, I'll tell you what, he did kind of. It was at the Classic, and we were – he's very sarcastic. If you spend any time around Dave LeFebvre, you're kind of like, are you serious or are you not? But he was cold stone serious with me, stone cold. I'm thinking of the ice cream joint. Man, that's kind of funny. He grabbed me at media day. He goes, why am I not getting any fantasy love? You know, I've won on Conroe. I have a fifth on Conroe, and I do well in Texas. What's going on? I said, well, I said, first of all, as I said a little bit ago, you should not read any of the fantasy stories. You need to stay away from those from now on. But, you know, he kind of, you know, gave me a hard time about it. He said, I think I've got the stats. I deserve to be, you know, mentioned here. And then he, you know, he brought up the fact that, you know, it is a sponsor recognition thing. He doesn't want to be left out when he thinks he should be recognized. But it was more in jest, and we laughed about it. But the thing of it is, he's right. He's done well on Toledo Bend. Last year he finished 19th, I think. Has fished there when he was with the FLW. You know, the guy's not a spring chicken. I think he fished the FLW for 15 or 17 years. So, I mean, he's been around. But, yeah, it is kind of a love-hate thing, and I enjoy the guy. He shaved my beard off. So, I mean, I've learned that maybe I shouldn't bet against Dave Lefebvre, and it's paying off. So it might be a love affair. Coy, what do you think?
Man, I've picked him at least two of the last three tournaments, maybe more than that. But I've followed him when he was in FLW, and anywhere that there's really where there's shallow water and flipping involved, I think he's a factor. And he tends to find fish that other people aren't. So like Conroe, where, you know, there's going to be 10 boats on every spot, he's going to sneak away and find somewhere that's got a few extra fish in it. And, you know, Toledo Bend, it's not hard to find your own water. But he just seems to find areas that hold better than average fish. I don't know. I've never met him, but I think he's good at that kind of deal. So he's on my radar for this one too. I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute. But
no,
paid off for you guys.
What's that?
I wish I had picked him.
Don't get bullied by Pete now. Pete's got his own little love hate deal with Steve Kennedy that he's trying to brush under the rug.
That's a true story.
Well, now that I threw a little shade on the rest of you, I'll go through my miserable picks from this last one.
Do it.
I know it's kind of sad when the pick that you're proudest of is your e-bucket pick. I really labored whether to pick Pete Reese or Justin Lucas, both of whom I thought were bargains in the e-bucket, and I ended up picking Skeet, who beat Lucas by 40-something points. So I was thrilled with that, with the 34th place finish by Skeet.
You were thrilled with a 34th place finish? Boy, this must be bad.
That's how bad my week was. It was just one of those weeks. You know, I had hail damage to my truck. I was glad that I didn't run over anything with my boat last week. I caught a few fish but couldn't fill that limit. It was one of those weeks where you just kind of like, you grin and bear it and hope to get through it.
All right, so go through it. Bucket A, I got to know top to bottom who you picked,
well,
so I can laugh at you.
I'm working up to Bucket A, okay, or down, as the case may be. Bucket D, I had Poroznik, who was my best finish in 18th, but it was kind of a safe pick. I don't really take all that much pride in it. I'm happy to get the points. In Bucket C, as Ronnie mentioned, I chose Steve Kennedy, and I'm going to ride Steve Kennedy forever. And this is an open challenge to him to win another tournament already and reward me for my faith in him. The problem, of course, is after I was taunted by Steve at the Classic for not picking him there, I just know the week that I drop off, he's going to go out and catch like 140 pounds, and I'm never going to hear the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
My pick in Bucket B was Keith Combs, which I thought was a safe pick. I thought there's no way Keith Combs doesn't finish in the top 20. I never thought there was a chance that there would be a day on Toledo Bend where Keith Combs doesn't catch a limit. He caught three on the third day. He dropped every day from 13th to 21st to 43rd. And my A bucket pick, my biggest disappointment, I came really close to picking Greg Hackney, which would have been a good pick. He ended up 19th. Instead, I picked Bill Lowen, who finished 93rd. Ooh. And Bill, if you're listening to this, ooh, I love you like a brother, but you were the wrong pick. Not only because you finished 93rd, I know Bill Lowen is going to win a tournament at some point. He's always in the money. He almost always catches limits. But, and again, Bill, if you're listening, take this in the best possible way. He's a singles hitter. He does well when they win with 40 or 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. When it's going to take 77 pounds or 97 pounds, Bill's not going to win. I look back at his career stats, and in 120 tournaments with bass, he's only caught over 70 pounds once, and that was at Clear Lake. He's only caught in the 60s four times. He's a guy who grinds him out if he's throwing a Ned rig or a shaky head or a little crankbait or a little spinnerbait. And to pick him at Toledo Bend where it was going to take good weight was not a wise move on my part.
Well, you never know. I mean, I think that Bill is probably one of – I mean, he is obviously one of the most consistent anglers, but – I think that's probably a safe bet 8 times out of 10. I think Toledo Bend was just extra tough. And something that we talked about at the tournament is there was several other tournaments taking place, which is something we've been seeing recently, especially at Conroe. But there were three tournaments that took place at the same time as this one. One of which I think was a 300 boat big bass tournament that went out of Housen Bay. And I was back in there that day, and there were boats just everywhere. And look, we've talked about this at the office too. The top 100 lakes that takes place in Bassmaster Magazine has a tendency to kill that lake for a short period of time. And maybe the tournament that we had there this time around might be an example of the added pressure that is brought to that lake because of the exposure that it's given Bassmaster Magazine. So I don't know. I want to run down the worst picks here just because I found them to be interesting. Bucket A was
just look at my picks, right?
Coy, that's probably pretty true. I think you probably did better than the worst picks, but Bucket A was Randall Tharp again, a very surprising deal, and do not count him out. He will be back and he will do better next time. Another interesting one in Bucket B was Stephen Browning, who finished sixth or ninth or something last year. So he did a 180 and finished 106th this time. Bucket C, it's kind of a surprise. Timmy Horton was the worst pick in Bucket C, finished 97th place. And this is after winning the previous Elite Series event on Okeechobee. Bucket D, the worst pick was Tyler Carrier. He's a rookie, but, you know, sometimes things just go bad. Finished in 107th place, worst in Bucket D. And then Bucket E was Robbie Latsu, finished 110th, bottom of the entire list, and that hurts. But you see that with rookies sometimes. They're kind of getting used to this and learning the pressures that come with top-end competition. And I'm certainly not saying I could handle it, but it's understandable sometimes when these guys fall off that way. So an interesting event, a fun event. I'd have to double-check, but I feel like we had the largest crowd we've ever had at Toledo Bend. It was awesome. It was full of people. So it's a great place to go. Good food. It's fun. So looking forward to going back. But let's talk Ross Barnett. I don't think we've had an Elite Series event on Ross Barnett. I look back through it. I think there's been some opens in the last couple of years, which I was able to build off of. But Ronnie, I've been looking forward to making fun of you again. So let's go right into your picks. And I'm going to fire some shots. So go ahead. What's your A through E look like?
That's fine with me. You know, I've got John Cruz in the A spot. I just feel like he is just such a solid guy. And I think last year missing the Classic and finishing like in the 60s in AOI was not a true reflection of his skill. And I think that, I think he handles like high-pressured lakes well. I think he can figure out ways to grind it out, for lack of a better term. So he's my bucket A. Bucket B, I've got Bobby Lane. I actually have another fantasy league where we solely pick winners. You only get one pick for the event. That's who you think's going to win. And before the season started, I picked Bobby Lane for this event. I just think that it's almost Florida. Outside of Florida, Ross Barnett is going to be filled with lily pad fields and wood and grass to flip and to do whatever he likes to do the most this time of the year. Plus, I think, he's had two decent finishes. All right, he had one decent finish at Conroe with the Shad Spawn. I think he got a top 10 there in the Classic, but he didn't do well at Toledo. I think that he's just like Tharp. He expects more of himself, and I'd be afraid for the first fish in practice that he hooks into at Ross Barnett. So Bobby Lane's my bucket B pick. My bucket C isn't the most flashy pick, and it's probably the one that Thomas is going to, like, tee off on. But growing up and knowing David Williams, I know how he fishes, and I feel like the first 2 years of his career, he's had a top 12. He's had a top 12 in his rookie year, and I believe he's had, like, two top 20s as well. And they've both been on, like, odd bites, tough fisheries, like Sabine. Havasu was a weird bite, even though it's such a great fishery. So I think David Williams will be able to, his skill set, flipping a jig, slowing down. I think he covers water slower than most pros. But as a result, he can get more bites in those tough tournaments. I don't know if that was the one you were going after, though, but my D&E is Stephen Browning and Fred Rubanis. I mean, Stephen Browning's one of those river rats that we talk about. I think he does well in low weight events, just like Pete mentioned about Bill Lowen. And it really helps when he competed in both the Opens at Ross Barnett, and he got top fives in both of those. Not like I'm going off history. I just think that makes me feel more confident in him. But I feel like this is definitely a Stephen Browning, you know, dragging a worm around Pat Sims and Bass flat. Just kind of like he did at Okeechobee. You know, he's fishing out in the middle of a abyss, you know, hitting a couple key targets out in the middle of a flat, you know. So I think that's what, you know, he'll do well there. And then Red Room Bandits is my bucket E. Not that these guys read our stories, but some of these pros that I don't expect to be in bucket E, and I've expected them to get out of bucket E, haven't yet. And I just don't I think that's the easy way out, is to pick the studs, quote unquote, that are in a bucket they probably don't they're not gonna stay in long. I think that's sometimes a layup. So I picked Fred. I think that he might catch some fish on a frog this week, and if that transpires, then he could be doing well.
You know, the problem here, Ronnie, is you picked a lot of nice guys, and I don't like the idea of getting on you for picking nice guys, because I like nice guys, but you do have a tendency to always pick some sort of Carolina angler. Am I wrong? Hello? Tap, tap, is
no,
this on?
No, not at all. I think this time of the year, I really pick, like, if it was like a ledge tournament or a smallmouth fishery, you won't see me pick them. But I think this time of the year, when there's a buzz bait bite, there's a shad spawn bite, there's a swim jig or any kind of shallow, you know, wood, dock, stuff like that, I don't know. I feel like we do that all year. So it's not like, you know, it's not like we fish way offshore in the Carolinas. I think that we get, you know, they find that more in their wheelhouse, so to say. I think that every pro knows how to flip a jig. But I think that the pros who do it 9 to 10 months out of the year on their home fisheries are more likely to lock it in their hand. And when you lock a jig in your hand or a buzz bait or something like that, you'll either do really well or you'll do really bad. So.
Well, I'll tell you this much. The nice guy factor is a hamstring of mine. I just sometimes I'm like, you know what? I like this guy. I want to see him win. And that has cost me in the past. But now Coy, I know he's kind of grinning right now because of the conversation we had the week before Toledo Bend about selecting lesser-owned anglers. And maybe you guys understand how that works. I just learned, and I have come to agree with Coy on that, and we're going to do a show on that in the future here where we kind of give away some secrets on making your selections. And I think Ronnie, while he's most likely wrong on a lot of these, and we all know that, he probably made some pretty good selections. And if they do well, he's going to climb the leaderboard, as I've been taught. Coy, what do you think? Ronnie right or is Ronnie wrong?
You know, there's plenty of good picks there. And it seems like, I don't know, I'm keen on David Williams. I've watched him. He's kind of a funny guy because he does not get a lot of fan love for some reason. He's a super, super nice guy. I talked to him at the Classic at Grand Lake, and really, really solid guy. But he, I remember one time he walked out, and he was in the top 12. He walked out on stage with his fish, and Mercer was having to get him riled up, you know, to show him some love. And he was like, "What in the world? Why aren't you guys giving me some love? I brought these giant fish to scale." So I think he's, you know, those nice guys, they don't always finish last, and maybe this will be the one for Ronnie, but I've got different picks. And again, if there's no offense to David Williams, but there's really not a lower owned pick than for guys like that. You know, he's just kind of under everybody's radar for the most part. But I pick guys that are lower owned but still super quality. So I don't know how much you want me to get into the ownership percentage deal, but the way that I see it, just a brief rundown of that, is the lower owned guy, it's a risk, because if the higher owned guy beats you, then however many, the percentage of people that pick that guy jumps you in the standings. So it's a risk. So you have to manage picking the lower owned guys to make sure that they're going to finish higher than the high owned guys. Again, however much you can actually make sure of that, who knows. But I've got in bucket A, I've got Jacob Wheeler. Man, this kid, he's won everything but the Classic. I say he's a kid. He's, what, 26 years old?
Something like that.
but
he's a kid to me.
Well, I'm 30 and I'm calling him a kid. That
he's certainly feel, a kid to Pete.
We feel strange. I must be a toddler then. So he is literally won everything but the Bassmaster Classic. He won an event this year. He won Bass Fest. He's won a cup. He's won FLW tournaments. So, I mean, he is, in my opinion, between him and Jordan Lee, one of those two is going to be the next GOAT of bass fishing. And I think that Jacob Wheeler is just going to be one of those guys that's consistently in the top. Can he have a bad tournament here? Sure. And I'll just let out a disclaimer. I don't really know that much about Ross Barnett. What I've studied about it, and it's got a lot of shallow vegetation, and it's also it's been won, and people finish strong by fishing offshore in that kind of 6 to 10 foot range, kind of that average middle ground that doesn't get a lot of love. So I'm picking guys that can find the little subtleties offshore, but also who can go up and flip if they need to. Kind of keeps it versatile. But Jacob Wheeler and Bucket A, Bucket B, Brandon Palnick, man, he was my backup pick last time, and I'm giving him the bump to the number one spot here this go around. And who do I have? Let's see. Let me go find my picks. Palnick and KVD, right? KVD is a killer at grinding ledges, like little shallow ledges out there. I think he could do well. Bucket C, Prosnick. Like I put in my article, man, he's kind of an insurance policy. He does really well just about every time. Every now and then he'll have a bad tournament, but his average finish is really good. And Scott Rook, I'm basing that off of finishes in the opens out there. So he's done really well in the opens and the ones that are around the same time. He's had a little bit of momentum going into this, and so he's kind of a dark horse. But I'm trying to give you guys some things to chew on here and think about or give me grief about. But let's see. Bucket D, Cliff Perch, again, kind of he's good at finding those offshore subtleties and also can go up and flip. He's got good finishes. Riverine systems where you have to get up in those backwaters. Cliff Crochet, I think Ronnie mentioned a frog. I think that's going to play. And, Cliff, again, I hope he's not listening to this necessarily, but he'll have a great day. And then he'll really struggle the rest of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
He always seems to have that day on the first day. But the thing about him is he could get that extra 40-point bonus for the big bag or the big fish. And those play huge in fantasy fishing. If you can pick the guy that gets the big bass or the big bag of the tournament, that'll jump you way up there. So if you want to gamble, he may not win the tournament, but I think he's got a chance, especially in big fish events like this, so to at least post a good finish and maybe have some extra bonus points for you. And then Bucket E, Takahiro Mori, and talking about grass, I'm thinking about what tournament was it? What did he win last? Where was that at?
Texoma.
Last year, Wheeler.
Or Wheeler, yeah.
Wheeler, yeah. So he's fishing, again, kind of offshore in that 6 to 8 foot range, just stomping them. So I think he could be a force to be reckoned with. He had a decent event. Or he had a decent day at Toledo Bend. I think day one he did pretty well and then struggled the rest of the time, or maybe day two. I can't remember. And Chris Lane. So who was it? Steve Kennedy. Pete, you were talking about Steve Kennedy. The day that you take him off, he's going to go out and slap 140 pounds on the scale. And this is the way Chris Lane is. I'm advising everybody to go out and pick Chris Lane because I'm not picking him this time. And he will do well this go-around, I promise. And I put it, mark my words, I put it in writing because I want everybody to know that I called it when he does really well at Ross Barnett.
So you're going with Takahiro over Chris Lane?
I am, but I'm letting everybody – it's really a bad move on my part because I'm going to let everybody jump me when Chris Lane wins the tournament. And Takahiro, has a strong finish. He's going to do well, but he's not going to win.
I tell you what, that would be the one of the key players you have that I would disagree with. He was the worst pick at Cherokee in his bucket and the worst pick at Okeechobee in his bucket.
Takahiro?
Yeah. You may want to go change that.
Struggled. he definitely struggled. And it's one of those deals. He was supposed to do good at both of those lakes. I mean, he's done really well in Florida. He's done really good in Texas. Well, did he didn't fish the Classic, did he?
No.
I can't remember.
Yeah, he fished the Classic.
40 games there.
How did he do? I don't remember.
I think he was in the low 30s or mid 40s.
Okay. So he was in the bottom end there, too. So he has not had momentum, and maybe that's going to kick me in the teeth. It probably will. But if I had to pick somebody else in Bucket E, it'd probably be Fred Rabanis or Tommy Biffle. Either one of those guys I think will do well. So right now, that's where I'm sitting. I've got Takahiro. He's
well,
10%, which is even kind of high.
So. I give you a hard time on that, but Takahiro proved us all wrong at Wheeler last year. Nobody expected that, and he's the kind of guy that he seems like he's on him or he's not. There's not really a big middle of the road for him. So you're right. He could certainly show up and surprise everybody, and who knows? I'll probably be eating my words. When I get cocky and start bragging, I tend to have a humble pie shoved down my throat. And I'd like to remind
for my sake. I hope it's this time. So
thanks.
Hope you enjoy your pie.
Yes, Pete, you like to serve up humble pie.
I do. I like to eat pie, obviously, as well too. I'm still trying to get over this Ronnie Moore nice guy bucket thing. I mean, I guess there's some lobbying out there, and we all tend to favor the people who we like because we want to see them do well, and we're happy when they do well. But I'm waiting for the day when Ronnie picks five absolute jerks and goes online and tells us that these guys are jerks. I've had a long-held theory that in order to be a really good tournament fisherman, you have to be kind of a jerk. Even the nicest guys out there, when it's competition day, they'll step on your neck pretty hard to end it, and I don't know that that's a career builder for me and Ronnie to build a bucket that way, but I have faith that Ronnie can do it.
Well, see, the thing is that Bobby Lane will put you on your butt if you say the wrong thing. And I think John Cruz is super nice to people, but he has, you know, he works out all the time. He could probably try to chop you in the throat faster than you can insult him. So
I saw a picture of him working out. He definitely intimidated me a little bit. That's a true story.
He's definitely the most jacked up little guy on the elite outfit.
And the little guys tend to be meaner than the big guys. The big guys don't have anything to prove. I don't know that he has as many bodies buried as, like, say, Tommy Biffle. But I bet Cruz has. John, if you're listening, I don't sue me for any sort of slander or libel there. I didn't mean it, but you know it's true.
We love you, John. We love you.
This is getting kind of dangerous to have to go on record talking about which guys are jerks.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We can't, you know, we're talking about stats and attitudes and the numbers side of this. And that's why, you know, these guys need to stay away from fantasy fishing, because if they have a sensitive line of feelings, they're definitely going to get their feelings hurt by listening to this garbage. But that's why we're pundits. So I'm going to let you carry on, Pete. I know you've got some good stuff there. Maybe.
Yeah, I've never let Coy. I've never been to Ross Barnett. I've done a little bit of research about it. And it's one of those, to me, it seems like one of those weird offshore southern reservoirs, in that it's not like a Kentucky lake where you have defined ledges in 25 feet. Like Coy said, that 6 to 10 foot range is offshore. And there seem to be a lot of lakes, like the Dardanelles of the world, in that sort of Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, in that Arklatex area. So with apologies to Jacob Wheeler and Jamie Hartman and Chad Pipkins and guys from other parts of the country, I'm going to focus on guys who've done well in that part of the country, who sort of understand those muddy water reservoirs. And my first pick in Bucket A is Jason Christie. Hard to get off of Ott Defoe in this bucket, because Ott is just fishing out of his mind right now. But so is Christie. Christie hasn't missed a check since Texoma last year.
And he's not far behind Ott Defoe in Angler of the Year either.
No, he had a great tournament at Toledo Bend. He's done well on Ross Barnett before. He finished fourth in the Central Open in 2015. He's just a cold-blooded killer. He's going to do well. In Bucket B, I'm surprised no one's picked Mike McClelland yet. Mike McClelland, more than any other angler in the field, has a great DASS record on Ross Barnett. Now, I'm probably dating myself a little bit here, because now that I've heard how old Coy and Ronnie are and you, Thomas, you probably don't remember 1996 all that well, but Mike McClelland won two invitationals in a row, the first on the Arkansas River and the second at Ross Barnett. And I remember it. I mean, I remember seeing the TV show with Mike in his patch vest talking about this newfangled War Eagle spinnerbait and how great it was. And he won that one. He came back a couple years later. He finished second at Ross Barnett. And then in the most recent, not the most recent, the 2013 Central Open there, he finished 11th. Mike is going to do well in this one. Mark my words on that one, please. Bucket C. Bucket C. Okay, this is my kind of mail-it-in pick. I'm picking Steve Kennedy.
Of course.
I'm just afraid. You know, I don't have a big enough data plan to withstand all the texts if he finishes first and I don't pick him.
Yeah.
So until Kennedy absolutely tells me, I'm going to ride him. It was tough not to pick Tharp in this tournament. Coming off a bad tournament at Toledo Bend, Tharp won an open here previously. This would seem to set up real well for him, but I think it sets up real well for Kennedy, too. He can swim a jig and flip a Senko in the pads. He can throw his big swim bait and get a couple bites. And I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you have, you've seen all the press coverage of him talking about having power poles for the first time. And I'm kind of baffled that he didn't know what power poles did. I mean, I'm sure he knew what they did. He's an engineer. But he keeps talking about, I didn't know how great they were. I didn't know how much I'd use them. So for Steve Kennedy at this point in his career to get a new tool that he feels is a game changer for my fantasy fishing purposes. Bucket D, I hate to do it. I have to agree with Ronnie on this one.
No.
I am choosing Stephen Browning. Browning, like Ronnie said, he has two top five finishes here. And for the same reasons that I picked Kennedy, he fits in well. He's done well on the Red River in that part of the country. He's done well, obviously, in his home state of Arkansas. It seems to be his type of lake, from what I can tell, and I expect him to bounce back from a terrible finish at Toledo Bend. And the final bucket, Bucket E, I'm going with Justin Lucas. I avoided him at Toledo Bend, and I'm glad I did, but I can't imagine that Justin Lucas is going to stay in triple digits in the Angler of the Year race all year long. He needs to bounce back in a big way. It's going to take a lot of work for him to get back to the Classic, but if anyone's capable of it, it's him. He's done well on river systems in the past, and those skills should translate, I think, pretty well to a relatively shallow lake like Ross Barnett. So, Justin, if you're listening to this, please prove me right.
That's my pick. Well, I'll tell you what, the Steve Kennedy thing, it kind of ranks along with what Ronnie picked. You know, you want to see Steve Kennedy win, but he has been, the last 2 years, he's been very consistent. I mean, we saw him come back in a huge way on the final day of the Classic to almost win. I think he lost by a pound and a half, and that's pretty close at an event like that. So I can't disagree with that. I looked at him pretty closely, but I've got the list here, guys, that you need to probably just switch over and go with this, because I promise you there's some big things happening here. I considered two and a half factors. Number one, guys that are good with a jig, because I see a jig being – there will be some crankbait fish, I guarantee it, but Ross Barnett is a relatively shallow body of water. I know it's full of cypress trees and – things like that just kind of target fishing, if you will. And maybe, Pete, you should go put Bill Lowen in there. I don't know, but this could play well to a guy like Bill Lowen. But right off the bat, now here, now we've been – I was scrutinized for this earlier about having a love affair with Lefebvre, which I don't, but I do like the guy. I'm going to go with James Elam in Bucket A.
Nothing wrong with it if you do.
Well – we're going to just leave that there. This is a family program. So James Elam is my pick in Bucket A. Now, I think a lot of James Elam. He's a good dude. He's always happy to work with me, which is nice if we're putting GoPros up, if we're going to do an interview. I like that about him. But the thing of it is, he's close in a lot of tournaments lately. He's been fishing very well. I want to say, I'm going to check the AOI standings here. He's in fifth place in Angler of the Year right now. Not too terribly far behind the leaders there. So he's been consistent. He's good with the jig, and he likes those warm water, shallow water lakes, much of what he grew up fishing on. So going to go with James Elam there, and a couple of guys to consider in Bucket A. I mean, you really – Jordan Lee won the Classic, and I think he did pretty well at Toledo Bend. I don't think he's the kind of guy that maybe wins a Classic or wins an AOI and kind of shuts down the next year and just coasts. I think he's tasted it now, and we would all agree on this. We're not going to argue, unfortunately, which is a lot of fun. Jordan Lee's reign just began, and I would be willing to bet maybe my favorite musky bucktail that he's going to win again this year. I think that he's got the taste of blood in the water, so I would certainly that's probably a pretty good selection. He's owned, or he's got a lot of ownership percentage, so that's one of those things that kind of made me back away, because there's a lot of people picking him right now. So that's Bucket A. Bucket B, I'm surprised nobody mentioned Brett Height. I mean, there's going to be grass. It's relatively shallow. this sets up for a guy with a vibrating jig. I did say jig. I didn't necessarily mean only the up and down kind of jig. So this tournament sets up to be right in his wheelhouse, and I expect Brett Hite to do well. Somebody mentioned Van Dam and Palnick, and I'm those guys are what I consider a dark horse angler in this tournament. You could see KVD do very well. Palnick has momentum in his favor. Both guys are well. I guess KVD's not good. He doesn't really do the jig thing. I'm sure he would do it well, but I would expect him to be winding somewhere on that lake.
Hey, if you watch Zona Live today, they put about 30 pounds on the boat on a jig real quick. So I would not put it past Van Dam at all.
Yeah, you're probably right. Of course, you know, he is the GOAT, so he knows how to do that. We just don't see him do it much. Bucket C, I am going to drink the Kool-Aid here. Even after Coy has educated me on making wiser selections, I'm going to go with Randall Tharp. And this is Randall's a nice guy when he's not in his boat, but he is a very competitive, very sharp person when he's in his boat. And you know what? That's one of his strong suits. That's what makes him good on the water, is just that tenacity. But he's mad. I heard that his wife Sarah drove their truck and camper all the way back to Florida by herself while he went fishing to just square himself away. It didn't be alone. That's what I heard. Don't know if it's true or not. To me, that says he's not going to take Ross Barnett lightly, and I would if he wins, I won't be surprised one bit. So I'm going to go with Randall Tharp. My dark horse is Steve Kennedy, Pete, so I'm in agreement with you there. We're not going to argue about it. He could do well. This is kind of a little off the cuff. Bucket D, this is not necessarily the nice guy selection, not necessarily the momentum selection, but it's the jig and the overdue selection, and I like Matt Herron. Matt Herron has had some tough tournaments, a tough season, a tough classic, but this tournament sets up well for him, and there was an article that Dom Barone wrote here last week. It was talked about Matt Herron's notebook that he's kept in his boat for so long, and something had happened. I think there was a vehicle accident or whatever, and this notebook got destroyed. And he wasn't able to keep it. And he made mention to Don Barone that that notebook was absent during his time at Toledo Bend, and he sure wished that he had it.
On a related note, Thomas, if I can interrupt.
Sure.
I've just learned that the notebook is also Ronnie Moore's favorite movie of all time.
Wow, there that is.
I love a good romance.
Hey, he's a newlywed. Of course that's one of his favorite movies. If he's smart, he better keep that thing locked into a DVD player. Or do you even have a DVD player, Ronnie? Is that something that your generation even knows how to use anymore?
Oh, it's Netflix.
I actually just moved, and instead of getting a cable, I just play Netflix on my Xbox, and I can play DVDs there, too. So it's kind of a one-stop shop.
Ronnie, how old were you when McClellan won in 96?
Depends on when it was in 96, but if it was in July or later, I was 20.
You were what?
10 years old. Does that make you feel good?
Oh, 1996. Oh, I was a sophomore in high school. I was terrorizing the residents of Wilton, Iowa with my driver's license. That's what I was doing. Hey, can I get back to this? We kind of got off on a rabbit trail here. That's fine. Yeah. So Matt Herron, I'm going to pick him. He's kind of got the same thing going on with Randall Tharp. The article that was written by Dom Barone, you know, is a well-written piece, but it kind of it made Matt step back and think, you know, I need to plan for my future. I need to change how I'm approaching tournaments, because so far he's had a couple rough ones, and that's not like Matt Herron. Very consistent. 7 out of the last 9 classics he's been to. Been in the top 10 of AOI a couple times at the end of the year. So definitely capable, good with a jig in his hand, and he hasn't won a tournament, and he wants to. He's hungry for it. He's mad at the fish. The first fish that Matt Herron lays into is going to be in sorry shape. He's going to nail that sucker. So going to stick with Matt Herron. Dark horse there is going to be Clifford Perch. He's a quiet guy. You don't hear a lot out of him. He you meet him in person. I don't think that you would assume that he's a top-tier competitive angler, but the man is competitive, and he's good, and he's been consistent recently. So I think that would be a good selection there. He doesn't have a lot of ownership, so it would be a good choice. So you got two there in Bucket D. Bucket E, I'm sticking with Biffle. I had Biffle for Toledo Bend. He did well. Got a check, was the lowest scorer in my bucket, but he still came through, and I'm glad I chose him. And I think he'll do well at Ross Barnett. He finished in Finished in third in 2015 at the Central Open. So, you know, he knows the water, been there before. He's not young, and he's not the nice guy type thing that, Ronnie Moore kind of goes for. So I think Biffle will do well. Dark horse and Bucketee is Justin Lucas. I'm with you, Pete. I think that he is going to turn it around. If it doesn't happen at this tournament, it's going to happen at the next one. I keep seeing that. Guys like that that are so good, so consistent, they're going to have a down year. And this may be Justin Lucas's down year, but he could show up and win for all we know. He's definitely capable. So, yeah, that's a pretty good list of guys. I don't know. Am I wrong? Don't tell me I'm wrong.
You know, I'm looking at Takahiro Mori's win his classic win.
Lake Wiley.
Yeah, and you know what his two favorite or his the top two lures he used at that event were a jig and a crankbait. And I'm thinking that's going to play right to his wheelhouse. Now he's had a couple bad events, but eventually these guys have got to turn it around. They're not in it for a season. They're in it for the long run, and they know they have to do something different. And I completely expect Takahiro to do that. So you can do what you're going to do. I'm going to ride the Amore train on this one here. I think it's his time. So it's going to play right into his hands.
I hope to rub your nose in that next week.
One thing that I think is interesting, I didn't put him in my lineup, but he's a superstitious guy, but he's been fishing fantastic. And this kind of lines up for him, even though people classify him as maybe like a smallmouth killer from where he lives in the country. But, man, Fletcher Shock's been fishing well this year and is he's doing well in points. He loves throwing a swim jig, and he got a top 12. He actually made a giant jump on the final day at Okeechobee fishing his strengths, which is actually not that finesse smallmouth game, even though he lives in upper Ohio, but rather the kind of southern deal. So I wouldn't put it past him to do well here either, even though he's kind of one of those lower percentage guys too, because of the bucket that he's in, the top bucket A.
Well, he's making a run this year. If I remember correctly, did I see Seth Fighter on a list that one of you guys wrote too?
Yeah, I was just about to bring up the man and the myth and the mullet. Is that what they call him? this guy's got some momentum here. He's fourth at, of course, he had Mille Lacs last year, won that one, coming off of a second place at Mississippi River. So, and then Cherokee Lake starting the year off strong. He stumbled at Lake Okeechobee, but then brought it back at Toledo Bend with 16th. That's pretty dang good. I mean, he's got a little bit of momentum and that kind of mid-range stuff. We haven't seen a whole lot out of him yet. And he's obviously a smallmouth specialist, but he can catch those largemouth. I didn't follow him much at Toledo Bend to know what he was doing, but I feel like between his momentum and that kind of mid-range depth offshore stuff, I think he'll be a factor. I bet you see him in the top 20 anyway.
Well, he was. We had a talk about this last year about how the southern largemouth are so different than the Minnesota largemouth, and I've been learning that same lesson since I'm living in Birmingham. I moved from Minnesota here almost 2 years ago, and the fish here have been humbling. But as I'm getting to know it, he's been getting better at fishing in these areas, and he showed that at Toledo Bend. In fact, he brought this giant bag up on, I think it was the second day where he had a solid, it might have been a 7.5 pounder, and he goes, I figured him out today, and it feels good to whack him after he struggled on some of those reservoirs. So I don't know how similar Ross Barnett will be to Okeechobee or to Toledo Bend. Maybe it's right in the middle, just with a different style of fishing. But I think that's a pretty good selection. I mean, I know we're supposed to challenge each other here a little bit, but you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on with your selections, and I think that we're pretty close to a near perfect team. If we were to pick one guy from each of us, we might have that perfect team wrapped up, which I will happily put my picks as. I'll claim that, but. Anyways, let's wrap it up with some final thoughts here. And this is something we haven't talked about, but it's hard to look back without much history. What are we guessing on a total winning weight? Ronnie, what do you think?
And I think it'll be in the 60s, like low 60s. Maybe, you know, 15 pounds a day, I could see the winner getting it. I think since this tournament's 2 weeks after Toledo, and Toledo was 2 weeks after Conroe, that we're almost hitting three tournaments that are doing the same exact thing, like Ross Barnett's in Mississippi, but it's not much farther north in Toledo. So I think the patterns are going to prevail, the similar deal, which is awesome because you can do anything you want almost baseline, but I also think it's do or die, where a guy's going to get on a great chance, ball and bite, or a great flip and bite, and the next day comes in with, you know, 8 to 10 pounds, and he's just, like, confused, and then the next day he goes out and catches another decent bag. It's just kind of this time of the year for those really, really southern fisheries that are, you know, already, you know, primarily the fish are getting into the post-spawn transition, you know?
Coy, what do you think?
Yeah, I've got about 17 pounds, a little over 17 pounds a day is what it averages out to. I think there's going to be a couple of guys that come in with those 20-pound bags. I don't know that you'll see anything much over that, but I think it'll take at least one of those days and a couple of solid 15, 16-pound days in order to take it down. So we'll see how that plays out.
Peter, my favorite, what do you think?
I hate to be the broken record here, but I think it's going to be mid-60s again, and I think – it's going to be another one of those challenging tournaments. The reason that we haven't seen many of our usual favorites at the top of the leaderboard consistently is because these tournaments haven't played out the way tournaments normally do, where someone gets on a winning pattern. Mm-hmm. You saw it at Okeechobee, where Ott caught 30 pounds one day and 10 pounds the next day. You saw it at Toledo Bend, where people could do any one of a number of things. I had one elite pro said to me the other day, he said it was crazy to watch people going out with 15 rods on the deck, everything from a deep diving crankbait to a buzzbait to a frog. And I think this is going to be another one. It's not going to be a junk fishing tournament per se, but you're going to have to be able to do a lot of different things in order to put together four of those 15 to 18 pound limits.
I think you're all low. I think we're going to see, I think it's going to be, I got 74 pounds. I don't do math. So I'm not going to divide that into four. That would just make me too tired after the day I've had. So I think that if you look back at some social media posts, a lot of the guys during pre-practice, I realize it was several weeks ago, and that's fine, but there are 10-pound-plus fish in this lake, and they're probably going to be down on weight just a little bit because of the being post-spawn, but you know, they may have had enough time to kind of stock up on some shad and kind of get near where they need to be at a healthy level. And I think you're gonna need to have an upper 20s bag, at least one of those, to have a shot at the win. So we could see fish in the you know 8-9 pound class range, and I don't think a 10-pounder is out of the question, but probably unlikely. So I'm gonna stick with 74. I big eye all my fish. I mean, you know, I'm a madman at catching little fish and making them look big in front of the camera. So I also have a tendency to big eye their weights, but that's just the way it's going to go. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. I mean, we have gone through some pretty impressive stuff here. I think that my selections are far more impressive than all of yours. And I'm going to stick to that, but hey, you know what? Prove me wrong. And if I win, I'm going to rub it in your face next time. Guys, thank you so much. From Ronnie Moore, Pete Robbins, and Coy Greathouse, this is your host, Thomas Allen, and you've been listening to Inside Bassmaster, the new podcast. And this is all about fantasy fishing this time. We're going to reconnect after Ross Barnett in a couple weeks. We'll talk about how that tournament went. We'll be looking forward to, oh man, that's Texas Fest. That's going to be on Rayburn. Man, that could be a slug fest out there. So thanks for being with us. We'll catch you next time here on Inside Bassmaster.